You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. September. It's a Kenny and Lynch day, so prepare for that. Yeah, trust me. The, I had just been looking at news headlines, and honestly, some days it's head shaking. Like, are you kidding me? But anyway, good morning to you. I was, I want to talk about, you know, like, what's going to happen in Afghanistan? And, so, essentially, what we did in Afghanistan was Afghanistan is a, it's never been a single nation, right? It's essentially territories organized to the benefit of somebody. That's what Afghanistan was. So when the Taliban were in charge, they were, you know, in charge of those areas. And so we get involved and we decide, no. So it's this kind of federation of dudes who run parts of the country. That's the way the country has been run forever. There is no federal government as we would know it here in the United States. So we go there and we decide, oh, they need a federal government. And we decide, yeah, everybody should have rights. So we expand this thing outside of its banks. And now, as this negotiation thing that we were doing with this loose confederacy of dudes known as the Taliban, right, each prosecuting their own little crusade in their own little part of the world for their own personal benefit, okay, nobody's doing it for the greater good of Afghanistan or whatever, in spite of what anybody says, all right? So anyway, now that those negotiations are broken off, what will be? Well, what will be, unless the United States says, you know what, we made a commitment to the Afghan people when we went there. We're not just going to simply leave and let them to the bloodletting that will certainly ensue, because this thing that we took outside of its banks, the rights of women, the rights of everybody to vote, and all of that, yeah, that's going back in the banks. It's going back to become what it was before we got involved in it, before we gave them this, all these incredible concepts from an advanced Western society that we said, yeah, that's got to be part of it, certainly. And so, as the United States unasses Afghanistan, that means gets the hell out, Afghanistan will recede back into it will be what it was. It will be what it's always been. It will be what it is culturally, and it is that in the real world, because that's what it can be. Nobody ever has been able to create a federal government in Afghanistan. You have mountain people, you have desert people down in the south. Nobody has ever governed that. It's been, as I said, a confederation of dudes who are the strongmen in the region, and that's the way it works. And so, how does the United States prevent that? Does the United States have any interest, or will the United States say, you know what, this whole thing that I've got to be physically in Afghanistan to control the borders, or to control whether ISIS and Al-Qaeda use it for a staging area? Why isn't Afghanistan on a list of a whole bunch of other countries that we monitor for those activities? And if we see them, we could certainly take action. So I don't know that argument holds up anymore, that I need to physically be there in order to affect it. I can be there if I want to be there. So, and if that's the case, and that's what we conclude, that, you know what, we just need to leave. We've done enough, and we've given enough to the Afghan people, and now it's the Afghan people's turn to go ahead and stand up and make this thing work. And they will not. Right? They will not. I mean, they have more weapons, as you'll hear Jeff Kenney say later today. I mean, they have more weapons. They've had more money thrown at them. And why doesn't it work? Well, I guess you could probably get a lot of Afghan experts on that will give you all the great reasons why it doesn't work. Right? Because fighting for greater Afghanistan is a fool's errand. Nobody's ever done that. So anyway, and then who will pay the price for that? Who will pay the butcher's bill in Afghanistan for when Afghanistan recedes inside of its banks and become that which it always has been? And that will be a whole bunch of innocent people will lose their only life because of this American ignorance and arrogance, right? The twin towers of folly. How about that? Wow, that's almost literary. The twin towers of folly, ignorance, and arrogance in Afghanistan. Yeah, we're going to bring our Western ways and give you all the great benefits of an advanced Western, the most advanced Western society, and then we're going to lay that on top of you. And then we're going to leave and let you sort it out. So, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's set so uneasy with me that we do this to parts of the world. We essentially go and we screw the whole thing up. And now, in retrospect, you know, I talk about the planning. They're called OPTs, right? Operational Planning Team. But it's essentially when somebody says OPT, we refer to a meeting, you know, in which planning is happening. So in that OPT, was that like, did we honestly believe that we could forge something that had never been forged in Afghanistan? Did we believe that? And then did we not know? And this is what blows me away when I read books now. And you know, were we arrogant enough to think that we could do that? I guess we were. Did we not know that it would take generations? And so now when you look for a way out, you know, I think the answer is, well, there is no way out. The only way out is to back out of that shit. And that's not a good thing. So there's two choices. You know, you create something, you know, that's, for instance, if you look at the vast country of Afghanistan, if you pull up your Google Earth map, by the way, I'm going to Minnesota, the University of Minnesota State University, Mankato. MSU Mankato, which is the first place I ever did post-traumatic wear. Yep. And they invited me up there. There's a Navy CH-46 pilot that runs the veteran programs up there. And they brought me up there, and I gave a speech on Veterans Day in addition to doing post-traumatic wear. And so I'll go back there. And I'm hoping, knock on wood, to go up and do post-traumatic winning where I used to live in Grand Forks, North Dakota. So I'm working on that, too. So I'm excited about that. So if you take Google Earth and you spin it and you get it to Afghanistan, which I'm doing as we speak, all right, and then zoom in on that thing, okay, and look at what the nation would have to control. Yeah, go ahead and take a look at that. Right. Afghanistan. All right. Yikes. So you're looking at the country, and all the way from down in the south to the mountainous northeast, right? So the east along the border with Pakistan, the south along the border with Iran, where I worked. I wasn't that close to the border. I was relatively close to the border, but not that close to the border. Helmand province and where I was, let me see how many miles from the Iran border was that. Let's see, there's the border. Oops, wrong thingy. Oh, there it is. All right, in miles. It's about 150 miles to the Iranian border. So, not that close. But so, nobody's ever controlled that country. So, do you then say, okay, with Kabul, Kandahar, and you draw kind of an inner, you draw like a circle around that which you will control, which is the major cities, and that would be the let's just call it the federal area of Afghanistan. And then the rest of it can be controlled by whoever controls it. Do you do something like that so you control the majority of the population and then the Taliban is what it is in the countryside? that would be a hybrid of what, you know, of what we, or do you just, do you stay for a long period of time? Will the American people support that? Would the president do that? He seems to be hell-bent on getting out of there. So, again, it's just, so anyway, during the Kenny and Lynch thing, we'll entertain two questions. One is, the DOD throws a lot of money at suicide. Why does the number keep going up? So we'll talk about that. And interesting, Tim went to a retreat. Yeah. So he tells us about his retreat. And just got back, like last night. So you'll hear about that. And then we'll talk about Afghanistan. What happens next? What happens when the money runs out and the army isn't able to, you know, now it's Afghan money that's going to pay those bills. Is there enough Afghan money to even do that? What happens then? So anyway, it's just a difficult problem. And again, it highlights, you know, the need to think the event through on the front side so you don't put yourself in this situation on the back side or on any side. That the things you believe that are in the best interest of the nation that you can actually do, or else you go there, you destroy the Taliban, you kill Osama bin Laden, and you leave. But we did not do that. Anyway, I got some interesting email after the show with Grant Newsham yesterday relative to China, China's inability to export. The guy, his name is Fisher. I can't remember his first name. Dan Fisher, maybe. And he was on Neil Cavuto. He was talking about China's problems with, look, when you're a totalitarian state, you know, and your companies are trying to do business outside, all their products don't go anywhere. Why? Because there's no utility in the free world for the apparatus that controls the communist and the totalitarian. So it's pretty interesting. He also talked about China's hard currency issues. So again, the emails, you know, really there's just been this kind of academic and diplomatic desire to see China as something that other than what it is. And what China is a totalitarian regime that is attempting to extort from the world based on their gigantic demand, based on their ability to raise the standard of living in your country if you're allowed to sell into China. They use that demand to get you to concede to certain things that they want, the world according to China. And so it's interesting as even academics now, right? Because now it's kind of cool, as Grant Newsham said yesterday, now it's kind of cool to say that, yeah, while unpleasant, this economic confrontation with China is necessary. Yeah, that always had... the cool kids weren't always saying that, right? The cool kids were saying, oh, you're stupid. You know, China is going to be a new enlightened. It will be the Chinese century. And you know what? It won't be. You want to know why? Because no totalitarian government will ever dominate the planet Earth. I'll tell you what, the story that I followed that's pretty interesting, that took a pretty interesting two turns. In the last few days, is the whole housing crisis, and a couple of stories. One is a Marine family was awarded $2 million by a jury in San Diego. For injuries and health damage as a result of living on in Lincoln Family Housing. Yeah, 2 million with an M. Now, we'll see if they ever get any of that. And again, the issue, mold. So that's interesting. And then another story is that a new association of privatized housing companies is pushing back on some of the reform. In the wake of withering criticism about how they have maintained the military-based housing they run, five companies have formed a new coalition to represent their interests, and some have ramped up how much they spend to lobby in Congress. One of the first actions of this coalition, called the Military Housing Association, has been to meet with and send letters to congressional staff members voicing objections to some of the proposals for the military housing reform. That's raised the concern of some advocates who are already alarmed by the Trump administration's objections to the changes. The Trump administration strongly objects to significant changes outlined in the Senate bill, according to their September 4th letter to the Armed Services Committee. It specifically notes issues with altering the terms of the existing legal agreements with the privatized companies. So, yeah, how about that? So, they get to continue the behavior towards these families. They just got a Marine family. He stationed at Marine Corps Recruit Depot San Diego. $2 million because of the way their health was damaged and the way they were treated. And let me tell you, and that's just a tip. That's just... They're the only ones, right? They're one of the few families that had the courage to sue these people in court. Most people don't, most people won't do that because of fear of repercussions and blah, 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 blah. So yeah, those are a couple interesting stories in the news. But anyway, good morning to you on a Thursday. Lynch and Kenny coming up in about 40 minutes or so. The United States Marine Corps ban makes this 12th day of September official. Good morning. Whoops, that's the wrong button. I timed that so well, too, and then hit the wrong button. This is dedicated to to the people yesterday that I saw on TV that called bullshit on Ilhan Omar, representative from the state of Minnesota, right? And they wore T-shirts that said something happened to somebody, or somebody did something. It's dedicated to them, because you know what? If you don't call that bullshit out, and she didn't get landed on. I mean, when you look at, you know, Congress was going to censure her and all that stuff, they watered the whole thing down, and at the end of the day, it was this broadly watered down statement on on tolerance, some other nonsense, right? If that stuff doesn't get called out, you know, like we would call out Holocaust deniers, that's not a good thing. And it's what we see in our media, because our media, again, stunned yesterday, right? The Supreme Court ruled that the president does have the right, does in fact have the right to set asylum laws, right? And the conditions under which people will be detained, blah, 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 blah. So when you know, and again, just stunning, because the liberals that that really define the media and the way the news comes to you, right, are aghast. The Supreme Court is allowing nationwide enforcement of a new Trump administration rule that prevents most Central American migrants from seeking asylum in the United States. The justices ordered late Wednesday temporarily undoes a lower court ruling that had blocked the new asylum policy in some states along the southern border. The policy is meant to deny asylum to anyone who passes through another country on the way to the United States without seeking protection there. So, Guatemala, Honduras, I'm looking for asylum, but I don't go to Mexico, I go to the United States. So if you're, you know, if you're that much in danger, right, any port in a storm, right? That's kind of the logic behind this. Most people crossing the southern border are Central Americans fleeing violence and poverty. They are largely ineligible under the new rule, as are asylum seekers from Africa, Asia, and South America who arrive here regularly at the southern border. The shift reverses decades of U.S. policy, and it does so, and this is my comment, not the Associated Press story, right? And it does so because that policy is being exploited. As people come in, the courts can't deal with them. Investigators have to look into their asylum claim. They move into the country. They never return to their court date. So that's the shell game that gets played. Right. Now, again, I mean, liberals, I mean, are aghast at that. That we would actually take a clear-eyed look and say, you know what? Kind of stupid. Just like this whole, you can't detain families for more than 30 days. So I have to detain the adults, and what do I do with the kids? Put them in foster care? That's the reason all that bullshit exists. Okay, so if you come here as a family unit, we can detain you for more than 30 days, because it's going to take us at least that long, probably longer, to find out if your claim for asylum, right, is anything but a ruse. And 99% of them are a ruse. You want to come here? And again, I would do it. If I lived down there, I would do it. But is that the way the United States can run it? But again, our liberal media, right, which did not take Representative Omar to task in great measure, they don't tell that story because it's not part of the story they want to tell. So anyway, so this is dedicated to those people that stood up yesterday, and in my opinion, stood up for the truth, in a very plain spoken American way. So this is dedicated to those families that did that.
We have fought it.
nobody else sings their song like that. Nobody. First of all, we have an awesome song, alright? It's a shit-talking song, too. If the Army and the Navy ever look on Heaven's Scene, like, that, our song is the best, man. But you will never hear another service's song sung like that, I promise you.
Train your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During the fights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get up. The only reason I stuck around that low-paying outfit 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness. Do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check the weather around Marineland. Here's an email. Yeah, there's no shithole weather updates either, just so you know. Yeah, that was short-lived, huh? All right. Yeah, I got a message. $2 million. I'm sure that'll get a lot of attention of people living in base housing. Interesting. Take them to court, boys and girls. Document it. Take them to court. Currently mostly sunny in 85 in Quantico, Virginia. Mostly sunny in 85 at Camp Lejeune. Sunny in 78 at 29 Palms. Partly sunny in 65 at Camp Pendleton. Camp Smith in Hawaii reports dark cloudy in 80, so they're a little bit warmer. Okinawa, about the same. Dark, cloudy in 81. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is clear, dark, and 96 degrees. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, which was about 10 degrees cooler yesterday, it's about the same. Clear, dark, and 88. At the home of All Marine Radio, the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area, Southern California, it is sunny and 68. Yes. Looking for a high of 82 today. So that's awesome. That's awesome. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We will check news headlines here. And on a Thursday, Lynch and Kenny coming up just after the top of the hour. And that's a relatively long event today. So you're going to be here for a while. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good,
but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Just got her driver's license. Yeah. So she texts me, Dad, when you go on your next speaking trip, can I have your truck? I'm like, are you kidding me?
I'm gonna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I'll free.
So I have a decision to make about that. The first delinquent. The first delinquent weather person just showed up. Yeah. There's a lot of interesting stuff in the news today. But I gotta do like the weather from South Central Saskatchewan before I move on. My computer's being slow for some reason. Overcast with rain, 46 degrees Fahrenheit, winds out of the northwest at 7. That's in Churchbridge, which is 211 miles north of Minot, North Dakota. There you have that, right? That's about as good as you're going to get. So Minot, North Central, North Dakota, kind of on the western side of the state. But, yeah, so the western one-third in the northern half of the state of North Dakota, Churchbridge, 211 miles north of that. It's overcast and raining. Same weather that Montana man's dealing with. He's away. The chef won't join us tomorrow. He's in the hospital. And, the chef deals with congestive heart failure. And so talked to him yesterday, and he sounded good. And so hopefully they'll take care of that, and he'll be back. But Montana man and F-18 man are going to fill in for him. They're both foodies. So I have no idea how that's going to go, but we're gonna get after that. I think later on today we'll record something. So that's going on. So keep the chef in your thoughts and prayers. So the news. Top story in Stars and Stripes. Afghanistan sees highest level of violence in 30 years as U.S. looks to step up anti-Taliban campaign. See what I tell you? They listen to All Marine Radio. I like that. Despite holding peace talks with the insurgents over the past year, the U.S. military has continued to conduct airstrikes at a high rate, with the highest monthly tally for 2019 seen in August as the negotiations were said to be in their final stage, as the new report shows. But again, I here's the deal with this. Oh, that's great. As I can hear General Zinni, we're active. Is it having any effect on the enemy? It doesn't appear to be. More Americans were killed in August in spite of this irrelevant activity. Related story. So again, General Zinni will tell you that you know, in Vietnam, they focused on irrelevant metrics. Body count. You know, okay, well, how does that link to capabilities of the enemy? And if you can't link it there, then is it the appropriate metric? Evidently not in Vietnam. The president pledges to hit the Taliban harder as he marks the 18th anniversary of September 11th yesterday at the Pentagon. Quote, "The last 4 days we have hit our enemies harder than they have been hit before, and that will continue," Trump said. "And if for any reason they come back to our country, we will go wherever they are, use power, the likes which the United States has never used before, and I'm not even talking about nuclear power. They will never have seen anything like what will happen to them. No enemy on earth can match the overwhelming strength and skill and might of the American armed forces." President. Yeah. Interesting article that has the chairman, the outgoing chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who's got less than 3 weeks left in his term. Headline in Stars and Stripes. Dunford indicates drawdown of U.S. troops from Afghanistan is not imminent. The United States will not begin drawing down forces in Afghanistan, where American troops have been fighting for 18 years, until the violence there subsides to a point that the Afghan security forces can maintain control, America's top general said on Wednesday. Joe Dunford, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said Afghan forces now require American military power to keep them from being overwhelmed by the Taliban. However, the general said he is optimistic ongoing U.S.-Taliban negotiations would result in a reduction of violence across the country, as well as an agreement for the insurgent group to negotiate a peace deal with the Central Afghan government. Reports that the United States could soon begin removing at least some of its 14,000 troops in Afghanistan as a result of the State Department-led dialogues with the Taliban in Doha, Qatar, are premature, Dunford said. Senior officials on both sides of the negotiation in recent days have indicated the two parties have inched closer to an agreement to end American involvement in the nation's longest war. I am not using the withdrawal word right now, Dunford said Wednesday during a televised news conference alongside Defense Secretary Mark Esper. And this is last week. I am using, we're going to make sure that Afghanistan is not a sanctuary for terrorism, and we're going to try to have an effort to bring peace and stability to Afghanistan, which is not different than anything he said all along. So, anyway, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, sounding a little bit different note. Next story that caught my eye, long-range rocket launchers arrive in Europe. The first contingent of U.S. rocket artillery vehicles began arriving in Europe on Wednesday to outfit a unique American brigade on the continent. The 41st Field Artillery Brigade, which activated in November, received a shipment of 16 M270 A1 Multiple Launch Rocket Systems, or MLRS, along with several support vehicles built atop the M2 Bradley fighting vehicle chassis. Each MLRS is capable of firing 12 long-range precision-guided rockets in less than a minute. The newly armed brigade is composed of two battalions and one support battalion, and it's the only U.S. rocket artillery brigade in Europe. So again, this goes to the ongoing missile treaty negotiations that we're dancing around. Another huge story that was published, I want to say, on Tuesday. Federal court ruled Tuesday that Department of Veterans Affairs wrongly denied reimbursements for some veterans who received emergency medical treatment at non-VA facilities, a ruling that could cost the agency billions of dollars. A U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims approved the case Wolf v. Wilkie in a class action as a class action and ordered the VA to reimburse the affected veterans. Attorney for the plaintiffs in the case, citing past VA estimates, said the agency would be responsible for paying anywhere between $1.8 billion and $6.5 billion to hundreds of thousands of veterans. All of this is unacceptable, a judge wrote. The judge's name is William Greenberg, who authored the opinion of the three-judge panel. Such an extraordinary situation demands extraordinary relief. A VA spokesman on Wednesday said that the agency was aware of the decision and is reviewing it. Tuesday marked the second instance in which the court ruled the VA must reimburse veterans for emergency medical expenses that they incurred at non-VA facilities that are not covered by their private insurance. In 2016, the same court struck down a VA regulation that kept the agency from reimbursing veterans' emergency medical expenses when a portion of the cost, but not all of it, was covered by their private insurance. The VA, man. And everybody wants public health insurance? Yeah. You might want to rethink that, okay? You might want to rethink that. I don't want to tell you how to live your life, but here's a story about the Marine Corps family, right? So his name is Staff Sergeant Matthew Caravat, his wife Lee Caravat. They have two children. Filed a lawsuit in January of 2018, alleging negligence, emotional distress, wrongful eviction, and breach of their rental agreement against Lincoln Military Housing, which runs the military housing for MCRD in San Diego. And then there's a statement from Lincoln Military Housing saying that they will appeal the judgment. Each member of the family was awarded $500,000 for pain and suffering in the jury's decision last week. An additional $42,000 was awarded for medical bills and other expenses. The family has since moved to Fort Dix, New Jersey, but they traveled back to California for the duration of the trial, which ended on September 5th. Quote, "In my gut, it doesn't feel right that service members have to go to such lengths to have adequate housing." I think this is the judge. His name is Polstra. "We're not talking about mansions. We're talking about houses that don't have mold and don't make you sick." The Caravats lived in a three-story, three-bedroom townhouse in Gateway Village from April of 2015 to April 2016, according to court documents. At the time, their children were 3 and 6 years old. The first doctor visit was 22 days after they moved into the home. After months of medical appointments for all members of the family, for symptoms including cough, fatigue, flu-like symptoms, and sneezing, mold was discovered in February of 2016. The complaint states that the repairs were inadequate, and the family moved out about 2 months later. You don't read very many of these stories that families win these kind of cases. So this is a pretty interesting little case. Polstra, I believe now, is the attorney for the Marine, the staff sergeant. He goes on to say this: "Juries paid attention to the evidence on both sides and they rendered their verdict, and we think that the jury served justice in this case," noting that the verdict was unanimous among the 12-member jury. Again, this story is disgusting because it happens all over the country. And now, again, in another story that we'll talk about here in a few minutes, the Trump administration is pushing back against changing these contracts that essentially immunize the housing provider. So I'm not about that. John Allen in the news. Headline in U.S. Naval Institute News says this. Marine who led ISIS fight says the threat still remains. General Allen, who is now the president of the Brookings Institute, said a clear indication of future threat terrorist attacks on the United States may lay in the camps in Turkey, where the spouses and children of detained foreign fighters are being housed, because, quote, no state will take the youngsters back. European nations have all been reluctant to take back the families of foreign fighters and the foreign fighters held by the Syrian Democratic Forces and try to rehabilitate them, or if that fails, detain them on their soil, he said. The Syrian Democratic Forces are made up of Kurdish, Arab, Assyrian, and Armenian militias. So I'll take a look at that. And he's part of a panel at Brookings. So General Allen in the news. Marine Corps headlines from Marine Corps Times. The first story is new association of privatized housing companies pushing back on some of the reforms. Again, with the assistance and support of the Trump administration, right? So I already told you the part where the Trump administration strongly objects to significant changes outlined in the Senate bill. The Military Housing Association, formed this year, includes the larger privatized housing companies, Balfour Beatty Communities, Corvées, Hunt Military Communities, Lend-Lease Communities, and Lincoln Military Housing, according to the spokesman for the organization, who declined to be named. Oh, my God. The companies, their spokesman doesn't want to have their name out there. Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat of Virginia, who has been vocal about his concern regarding military families' housing problems, said the bottom line is fixing the problem. Kaine appreciates feedback from anyone affected by the proposed changes, said Sarah Peck, a Kaine spokesman. However, his number one priority is ensuring military families no longer have to endure dangerous conditions in their own homes. And that's what will determine which policies he supports. Again, this is the scam, a legalized scam. They're trying to run that military housing on the cheap, and they're making people sick. And I'll tell you what, I hope more juries around the country do what that jury did in San Diego. Right? And that's the way that this is going to get fixed. When those companies get dinged, right? When those companies get dinged, that's what's going to change this. The Military Housing Association cited objections to these proposals. One, allowing the tenant to request their basic allowance for housing be withheld from the privatized housing landlord and requiring the Defense Finance and Accounting Service to hold it in escrow until the matter is resolved. Now, this was a huge deal in the tenant bill of rights, okay? That somehow or the military member whose complaint has not been heeded and fixed to their satisfaction could say, yeah, don't pay my rent till this is resolved. And they couldn't take the money and spend it. It's held in escrow until it is resolved. Yeah, they cited and they objected to that. Second thing they objected to, requiring the landlord to pay all medical bills for a tenant of a housing unit if service officials have determined that the company hasn't maintained the minimum standards of habitability. Oh, so, yeah, if you decide that it was our fault, we don't want to pay those medical expenses. Requiring a 10-year maintenance history of the home to tenants. Yeah, are you kidding? Why would we want to provide that? So that you might know what happened in the past? Number four, requiring the DOD to publish all the financial details of each contract in the Federal Register. Yeah, are you kidding? If you knew what we were doing, right, the money we were making and how we were holding costs down, you'd have an absolute conniption fit live on TV. And we sure as hell don't want that. This is how it works. Diverting, and they object to diverting 3% of basic allowance of housing to pay for DOD housing inspectors. No, because that 3%, that's coming off the top. That's 3% of the profit. That ain't happening. Bullshit. So it'll be interesting. Because, right, everybody was indignant. Everybody was indignant about the conditions. You know, people flipping out. What action has been taken? None. Email. Ohio man. Not sure where he's been living, but he weighs in. MLRS. Combine this with today's news that Trump gave $120 million to the Ukraine for security, along with all the other Norway and Eastern European deployments, and it certainly seems like we are sending a message. Yeah, which makes his behavior when he's in Vladimir Putin's presence even more puzzling. So, no doubt, United States, in action, President Trump, right, he tends to stand up to the people that, you know, want to do us harm as a nation. But when he's around Vladimir Putin, though, you know, it's just weird, man. It's just weird. All right, let me keep going on the news. I haven't done the news in a while. And then Lynch and Kenny after this. I wish I could control that thing better, but it's really best when it's uncontrolled. So I lament over nothing. So disregard everything I just, like General Mattis said, disregard what I just told you. So military housing, much in the news today. Other than that, is there any other headline that I would, extend to you? No. I'll tell you what, the VA things, the emergency room VA thing is a big deal. There's another story. These are kind of the stupid stories that appear. Veterans with PTSD, anxiety, turn to beekeeping for relief. All right, boys and girls, don't fuck that one up, man. If you screw that one up, that ain't going to go right. All right, so, yeah, everybody wants to be a beekeeper. Till it all goes wrong. Let's see. Last story. This is not a Military Times. Trump says he's considering 5 candidates to replace John Bolton. The president, man. John wasn't in line with what we're doing. He wasn't getting along with the people in the administration that I consider very important. I hope we've left in good stead, Trump said. Maybe we haven't. And as usual, he said, there's people lining up everywhere. We've got an incredible list of people. He didn't name any of the 5 candidates, saying it only that they were all very highly qualified. So we'll see what happens. Right. I mean, all the marquee names are gone, right? And so you have lesser people, and there's a rightfully placed concern that, you know, are these underlings, do they have the experience to take on a guy like Donald Trump in public and live up to the things that everybody says, oh, you know, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, will you speak truth to power? Oh, you betcha, Senator. I'll always speak truth to power. I always do. Right. So, will people that have less experience in living in the deep end of the pool, will they be up to the task? We shall see. All right, top 5 stories in Early Bird. Number 1, U.S. Air Force restricts K-2 KC-46 from carrying cargoes and passengers. So here's the story. In a move that could have a major impact on their already delayed tanker program, the U.S. Air Force has indefinitely barred the KC-46 from carrying cargo and passengers. The decision was made after an incident occurred where the cargo locks on the bottom of the floor of the aircraft became unlocked during recent flights, creating concerns that airmen could potentially be hurt or even killed as equipment that suddenly burst free during flight. Okay, so the way this works is, right, you have a system where pallets roll on and off, right? Those pallets are then chained down at various tie-down points. Now, how those things come loose, I'm not is it automated now? Maybe we should just go back to the old way. Chain that son of a bitch down. It isn't moving. The problem was discovered during a recent overseas operational test and evaluation flight when KC-46, that's the new Air Force tanker, aircrew noticed that numerous cargo restraint devices had come unlocked over the course of multiple legs of the trip. So that's the number one story. So I'm not sure if these are just randomly numbered. That seems to be, well, I guess if you're in procurement, that's a big deal, right? Number two, Trump says he's hitting the Taliban harder than ever. We talked about that. Three, Democrats threaten to withhold defense votes over the wall. Yeah, do you remember the article from last week that said that the DOD source said that we're confident that that Congress will replenish the money? Like, all right. I don't know why you would be confident about that, because the lower house of the aforementioned Congress is in control, is controlled by the Democrats. And if you rob Peter to pay Paul, you think they're going to replenish Peter's pocket again so you can filch it? I don't think it works like that. At least that's not the way I read it. Anyhow, that's in the news. Number four, Poland cleared to buy the F-35 fleet. Yeah, how about that? Poland becomes the newest client for the fifth-generation fighter. So, again, arms deals all over the world. Taiwan cleared to buy the F-16. Yeah, hi, China. How's it going, boys and girls? How's it going, boys and girls? Poland, right? All the deployments. Up north, and again, this is the problem if Poland becomes stronger, right? Russia, with their economy the size of Canada, can't keep up. Yesterday, that dude on Neil Cavuto, this is stunning. North Korea has about the same amount of paved roads as a small city in the United States. North Korea. Yeah. So can they? If you didn't listen to yesterday's little segment with Grant Newsham, check that out. Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. And then in hour one, I played about a 15-minute interview Neil Cavuto did with this guy. And he talks about China's ability to export, manufacture, and export. Not so much, right? Technology and the staples, right? If you want T-shirts, right, they can make your T-shirts. But if you want other things, they don't make. It doesn't work, right? Because semiconductors have to do certain things, and China doesn't allow that. So anyway, Poland cleared to buy the F-35. And the fifth story, again, even clickbait invades the top five stories in Early Bird. Storm Area 51 event canceled after everyone realized it's a horrible idea. Now, Alex Hollings did a bit of comedy on that one day, and it was funny. He talked about people getting out of their cars and finding out that, like, it's a five-mile walk, right? And they're trying to walk through the desert that isn't, like, flat, firm sand. It's rocky, crappy, and within, like, 200 meters, your tennis shoes that you paid $75 for are destroyed. It was really funny. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, the Lynch and Kenny event will show up. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of this great program, All Marine Radio, coming up next right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my commanding unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.